Good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3. I made a statement on Wednesday night. Brother Brian was referring to the time that we had together. We kind of just gathered around close, and I kind of just wanted it to be kind of like family time. And I think the Lord honored our meeting Wednesday night. And I made this statement. I said that it's very possible. I'm not going to argue. But it's very possible that this week will be the most important week in the year of our this year for our church. A lot of people don't look at it like that, but it's a proven fact that when folk get to be 40 years old, most of them's done made up their mind about things. Most of them have already decided which way they're going. Now, there are exceptions to every rule, but we're going to have an opportunity this week to share the Word of God with young people, and what a blessing. What a blessing to have that opportunity. In John chapter 3, I made that statement this morning so that I could make this statement. This is probably one of the most important chapters in the Word of God. There's so much in it, but I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning out of it. And I am looking forward to tonight for two reasons. One reason is I love to hear Brother Napper preach. I have ever since the first time we ever worked together. The other reason is I'm going to get the rest. Amen. And it's going to be a wonderful evening service. I encourage you to come back. The Bible said in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The word of God said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Drop down with me, if you will, to verse number 14. The Bible said, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Boy, isn't it good to be in that crowd this morning. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now, if you'll drop on down with me, Brother Napper, these people don't know it, but God knows it. I said to Bob several times this morning, my son-in-law, he's my old son-in-law now, got a new son-in-law yesterday. As you were going through what you were preaching, I Brother Knapper and I, we've worked together for years, and my, how the Spirit of God has just had a way of taking. He hadn't talked to me, and I hadn't talked to him. But he had talked to Jesus, and I had talked to Jesus. God bring us together, and just how the things meshed, and how this meshes today is unbelievable. The Bible said in verse number 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth at the which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm going to read one more verse, and I'm just going to share a few things with you this morning. We're going to go home. Drop down in chapter number 4 and verse number 4. The Word of God said, and he must needs go through Samaria. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you'll magnify your presence, magnify your power through this precious old book, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us, our Father, clearness of thought and clearness of mind. God, you know how I'm trusting you this morning for everything that needs to be said. I pray, Father, this morning that you would give us, Lord, a good time around the Word of God. God, I pray there's a person here today. Lord, maybe they don't know why people are weeping. Maybe they don't know why people are shouting. Maybe they don't know why people get happy in the choir. Maybe they don't know why these songs mean so much to us. Maybe they don't know why these verses mean so much to us. God, I pray before they leave this building today, they know why. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us a little place in your vineyard to labor. I pray, Father, that you'll bless in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm picking up on the word must. And chapter number 3, and then last night the Lord showed me that word in chapter number 4 as well. There's, I guess, 5 times that the word must is used here in these verses that I've read in your hearing this morning. And according to the Word of God, the first one over there is speaking about Nicodemus when our Lord said, "Ye must be born again." Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I had the privilege last week when we were delivering food and visiting to meet a man that's moved here from Mexico. He's been in the States now for 15 years and he's doing a real good job with the English language. I quoted him one verse in Spanish and he does pretty good with hillbilly Spanish too. Amen. He understood what I was saying. The verse that I quoted was John chapter 3 and verse number 16. But when I looked at that man and I asked that man, Lucio, L-U-C-I-O is his name. Lucio, I said, have you ever been born again? There was a look, Brother Larry, that come on his face, I believe, would have been a lot like the look that come on Nicodemus's face. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand, and neither did Lucio. I'll be back to see him. Say amen. We've already shared literature and shared Jesus, but we'll be back to see him. Got a little old boy, 6 years old, one of the kindest, friendliest little old boys, Brian, you ever met in your life. Amen. We'll be back to see him. His driveway goes straight up. You feel like you're in a rocket ship when you go up the driveway. I made it up the driveway walking yesterday, didn't I, Brother Jeff? He witnessed that. I had to lean forward going up the driveway. That's how steep it is. Amen. Did you say, preacher, why would you emphasize in a church like this that you must be born again? I tell you why. You must be born again. I believe there's a lot of people throughout Kingsport and throughout the world that have a real good dose of religion. And Nicodemus was as religious as any man could ever be. But Nicodemus had not been born again. Jesus was looking past Nicodemus's credentials. He was looking past the outside that looked so wonderful. I tell you, it doesn't matter if the outside looks wonderful or if the outside looks terrible. Our Lord's looking down on the inside. Amen. And He knows what's in the inside of man. He knows the heart of man. And I tell you this morning, I thought about that. He must be born again. He must be born again. It's not optional. You know, you say, well, preacher, what if I'm not born again? Then you don't go to heaven. You say, well, preacher, what if I don't go to heaven? Then you go to hell. Regardless of what people say, there is no place in between. Amen. There is no place in between. You must be born again. It's not an option. A lot of days, a lot of things these days that you go and you look at a vehicle, and my goodness, if you look at the sticker, of course, if you're like me, the only part you're looking at is that bottom line. Say amen. And that'll scare you to death. But if you look at that sticker, there's a lot of things on there. What do they call them? Options. In other words, a steering wheel's not optional. You've got to have it. Say amen. Amen. You don't see that on... Now, tilt steering might be optional. But a steering wheel's not optional. Amen. And I just want to say that being born again, as far as entering into heaven, is not an option. Amen. It is a must. You must be born again. The Bible said here, I'm going to argue with people. People got their own ideas. I'm just reading this in its context. People say, well, that water there represents the Word of God. Well, I'll tell you what, there ain't nobody going to be born again apart from the Word of God. It is the incorruptible seed. Amen. But I tell you, if you read the next verse, Jesus tells Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I personally just believe He's saying, Nicodemus, your first birth, son, ain't going to get it done. There has to be another birth. There has to be a spiritual birth. You must be born again. Now, to be born again means to be born from above. Now, this will go along good, real good with what Brother Napper taught us this morning. That means you didn't initiate it, and I didn't either. That means before we were looking to Him, He was looking at us. Amen? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I believe this morning to be born from above means that God initiated it and God spoke to our heart. The Bible said God quickened us. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We would have never been interested in Him had He not been interested in us. A new birth to be born from above. I'll tell you, there are going to be a lot of people on the property this week that need to be born again. There may be somebody in this service this morning. Oh, you look so good on the outside. Let me ask you this. What's the inside look like? That's what counts, amen. I tell you, I thank God this morning. I love that old song. I wish somebody would take it up and sing it for me. When He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am, amen. Thank God. He sees us this morning. He knows whether we've been born again. And beloved, I believe we know too. There is no peace outside of the new birth. There is no washing away of our sin outside of the new birth. There's no removing that guilt and removing that shame outside of the new birth. You must be born again. I was talking to a young couple at the wedding. I've had them on my mind all morning. And I asked them, they had a little bit of a religious conversation. And you know, I'm not being critical, but some people, if they've got any religious conversation about them at all, it'll come out talking to the preacher, say amen. And they started talking to me, and I just assumed. And I said to this young man, and they've got a little baby that's precious. I said, where do y'all go to church? They said, we don't go, preacher. I said, would you come and visit? He said, yes, we will. He said, Cody said, you're a good preacher. How about a son-in-law that says you're a good preacher? Amen. There's hope. Amen. But you know something? If I don't see them shortly, guess who they're going to be seeing shortly? Amen. They don't live far from where I live. I'm just telling you, they need to be born again. It's more than just some religious words. It's more than just a conversation or a change in your dress code. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a heart change. And only Jesus can do it. You must be born again. Then you come on down here, and the Word of God said there's this next must. I call that must right there, and I didn't even write it down. I'm depending completely on my Lord this morning to help me remember what He spoke to my heart about coming up Carter's Valley yesterday evening, trying to get back to the church. That's the must of salvation. You must be born again. The must of salvation. When you come on down there, and Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I tell you, Brother Gary was testified in the choir. He's the one that needs to be lifted up this week. I see the must of sacrifice. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say what the preacher said in Sunday school. We wouldn't be here without that old rugged cross. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I can be born again because He was willing to be lifted up in my place and die in my place. Not many people want to hear about that. But I tell you, it blesses me when I think about how that He was bruised for me, how that His body was broken for me. Not His bones, but His body was broken. I think about how that His face was battered for me. That blesses my heart, knowing it should have been me they were spitting on, me they were nailing to the cross, me that they were beating black and blue. It should have been me that had the crown of thorns pulled down in my head. It should have been me that died on that cross, not Him. The sacrifice. The Bible said there, He said, preacher, what about Moses lifting up that serpent on a pole? Well, there's a cross over there and an eagle over there. But you know, in the Old Testament, I'm sure most of you know the story. There were serpents that came in the camp of Israel. And in the camp of Israel, God told Moses, He said, now Moses, He said, I want you to make a brazen serpent. And He said, I want you to put it upon a pole. And He said, when people are bitten by those serpents, He said, I want you in the midst of the camp to lift up that pole. And He said, if they'll look, they'll live. I tell you, if those folks looked, they lived. And if they didn't look, they died. Aren't you glad this morning we have a place to look? It's not at a brazen serpent, but as the serpent was lifted up, thank God the Savior was lifted up on an old rugged cross. We're looking to Calvary, looking to a Savior that gave His life. I'll tell you, some might have said in that camp, well, that's too simple. Let me say this to you. Salvation's not complicated. You can look and live, or you can go the other way and die. Either one you want to. You can look to Jesus and live. Call on Jesus and live. You see, in order to look to Jesus, we have to look away from our sin. We call that repentance in the Word of God. There is no salvation apart from the new birth. And there is no sacrifice apart from Calvary. Amen. Jesus, our Lord, gave His life for you, for me. He gave His life for every one of the children that'll come in here this week. He gave His life for every one of those parents that'll come in here this week. You say, preacher, they might not look good. I know that. They might not smell good. I know that. But I tell you what, they look wonderful to Him. They look just like we did when He came to us. They look like a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe with all of my heart, there's the must of salvation. You must be born again. But there's a must of sacrifice. You think about this morning. I just like to meditate. Brother Gale, without that old rugged cross, chances are you and I have never known each other, brother. It's the cross that caused our past to cross.
I don't know how you feel about the family, but I love the family of God. Amen. And I have to realize that he go back to the same cross. That's the reason that we're here. That's the way that we got in. Amen. And that's the reason that we sing. That's the reason that we worship. That's the reason that we preach. That's the reason that we have Bible school. That's the reason we do all that we do. Is a sacrifice that was made on an old rugged cross. I don't know about you this morning. How'd you like for it to be the Old Testament way still? Coming in here with turtle doves and coming in here with lambs and, I mean, blood everywhere. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, he died once for all. The sacrifice paid in full. I don't know about you this morning, but I like to see that stamped on a bill. How many knows what I'm talking about? And this generation's so electronic, they don't use many of them anymore. But used to, they had a rubber stamp. And there was your, and used to, you paid in cash. Amen. And when you got done, you handed the cash over and they handed you the change. If you had any change coming, then they take that rubber stamp and hit that thing paid in full. I tell you what, I had a bill. It was so long, I couldn't even get it in this building. I owed a sin debt that I could not pay. And my Lord at Calvary, he must be lifted up. My Lord stamped it paid in full. Not in ink. But in blood, my Lord did that for me. I think about this. I see the must of salvation. I see the must of sacrifice. But I want you to think about these verses over here. The Bible said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. What would it be like to be called a friend of the bridegroom? I want to ask you this. I'm emphasizing this because I believe God's going to give us a great week. I believe we're going to have an opportunity to be a friend to the bridegroom. And let me ask you this. Who is the bridegroom a friend to? You could study your Bible, and the Bible said that he was a friend of sinners. You say, preacher, you believe God wants us to be a friend? No, I don't believe it. I know it. Amen. They're never going to smell the perfume if we don't get around them. Say amen. I believe God wants us to understand. Look here in verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. I believe you have the must of salvation. I believe you have the must of sacrifice. But I believe right here you have the must of serving the Lord. Amen. The must in service is that he is made much of and we are made little of. We're not bringing him in here this week to make much of us, but to make much of him. He might increase. We might decrease. Oh, I believe with all my heart. Them verses they'll quote every night. They come out of this here book. Guess what this here book does? It makes much of him. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, it makes much of him. It makes much of him. He must increase, and I must decrease. This week, I believe if God will help us, we can see God give the increase, but he must increase and we must decrease. It'll be unbelievable this week, the things that will be done that no one will ever see. But can I say this to you? He'll see it. You do it for him. I believe it'll be all right. Amen. The Bible said we must be born again. The Bible said he must be lifted up. The Bible said he must increase and I must decrease. I want to close with this. I could preach right there a long time. I could preach on any of these a long time, but I'm just giving you my heart. I didn't even realize it. But if you drop down, you take the new birth, the person's experienced the new birth, a person, how many believes we ought to visit Calvary often? I guarantee you this. Calvary will knock the pride out of you. You won't get up from Calvary all proud and blowed up about what you've done, what you're doing, or what you're going to do. It'll knock the pride out of you. It'll humble you to think that the likes of Him would leave the likes of heaven and come down here and die for the likes of you and me. What a blessing. It'll cause you to want to make Him increase and make us decrease. But the next must, Brother Larry, I didn't even realize it. Why all of that? Because there's the must of Samaria. How in the world are we going to reach Bloomingdale, the must of Samaria, the must of Bloomingdale, without the must of John chapter 3? See, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. I want to stir our hearts, if God will help me, challenge our hearts right here. How many knows what was on Jesus' mind in going through Samaria? How many know it was really not a what, it was a who? How many knows who? How many knows how many it was? Now you say, preacher, there was a whole lot more than that woman saved in Samaria. I know, but God had His eyes on that woman. I tell you, if we get our eyes on one little boy, one little girl, one teenager, one mother, God only knows who will be saved as a result of it. But for one, I must needs go through Samaria. We don't have our heads bowed right now. We don't. I'm not asking us to. How many could use a little more burden for souls than what you've got right now? Would you slip your hand up if you could use just a little bit more burden for souls? Let me tell you where it comes from. The burden for souls will never come going through Sunday school. It'll never come going through church. I tell you where the burden for souls will come, going through Samaria. You get out there where they are, amen. You get out there and meet them. You get out there and see the condition of homes and the condition of these children and see the condition that they're in and know that we have the answer. And you'll say, I must needs go. He must increase. I must decrease. You know, Brother Napper, when you do what He's done and do what I did for 10 years, the average person's never been through the prison. And they don't understand why you want to go through the prison, brother. But every one of them men, somebody's daddy, somebody's brother, some precious mother's son. How many knows what I'm saying? But more than all of that, you might not like what I'm going to say, but it's the truth. Our Lord stretched His arm out and died for them the same as He did for us. He said, I must needs go. But you know, let me just say this in kindness and love. If we're not careful, we'll have the same attitude the disciples had when they come back with bread. What's He doing talking to her? Say amen, Brother John. What's He doing talking? Don't He know who she is? Some half-breed. He knew exactly who she was. More than that, He knew exactly what she needed. And more than that, He had exactly what He needed. She needed. Amen. Oh, I thank the Lord, don't you? Must. Oh, it's not in the list of options. I thank God. And in my life and in my heart, it's never been an option whether to go or not. I must go. I believe the only alternative to going is disobedience to God. I must needs go through Samaria. It broke my heart when a couple of our ladies told about a family. They said, you can come in. You can look through our cupboards. We don't have anything to eat. Our children went to bed hungry last night. You say, preacher, not in our community. I'll say this, in every community. There's somebody that has a need. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful to be a part of a church that we don't have our hands like that, but like that. If we can help you. Amen. You say, preacher, do they know Christ? I don't know, but I know this. They'll never know Him until they know how much we care. As a matter of fact, they may not know it yet, but they've already seen a picture of Him. Amen. A picture of His kindness, a picture of His love. We must be born again. How many's glad you've been born again? How many glad you ran into a wall one day and hallelujah, it took an about face. You had to turn around and go a different direction. Amen. He put a new song in your heart. He established your goings, put you on a solid rock. Forgave you that mess. Put a shout in your soul. Some people said years ago, brother, they said, hang around a while, preacher. You'll settle down. Ain't no use telling him that. I've been around him too long. Amen. That's what they told me. Hang around a while. You just watch, preacher. And tears will dry up. You'll settle down. I'll tell you what. If you could get me away from Calvary, that might be the truth. But if I could stay close to my Lord and close to where He gave His life for me and close to those that He died for, I believe it'll be all right. Close to that old book. Amen. Sister Jessica was back here a while ago getting ready to hobble in. She had little Owen sitting there on the floor. And I looked at little Owen and I said, honey, I didn't miss your mommy, but I sure did miss you. He just grinned from ear to ear. Amen. I have to pick it, Sister Jessica. Johnny won't do it, amen. So somebody's got to do it, amen. Sister Jessica and Brother John, they went to that old cross. Our paths would have never crossed in this walk. I'd still be out there in sin. Still about the art doing my own thing. Could care less about you all, my own family, or anybody else. Thank God for Calvary. Can we sing a song about Calvary this morning, brother? Ralph, I don't care which one. Just get me one about Calvary. I believe God wants us to understand it's not optional. You must be born again. It wasn't optional. He had to bleed and die. He must be lifted up. If we're going to do anything for God and accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, He must increase and we must decrease. You know what I love about choir singing like you had this morning? Seemed like He is getting bigger and we is getting littler. I tell you, when He goes to getting bigger and we go to getting littler, we're going to have a meeting. Say amen. That's what it's all about. Let's pray God give us a week of Bible school where He gets so big and we get so little. Amen. They'll say, hey, somebody up on that hill. You can't see Him, but He's up there. He's a working. He's a working. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to share the Word of God. God, I realize this morning that John discounted it in honor. He said, I'm not worthy to unloose His shoes. He said, behold the Lamb. Oh God, this morning may someone behold the Lamb. Maybe somebody's heart's cold and indifferent. Maybe somebody, Lord, been a long time since they've looked to Calvary. Oh God, this morning there could be somebody here never been born again, never, Lord, really had that new birth. Oh God, this morning, I pray, give them something besides religion. Help them to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Father, we love You this morning. Give us, Lord, a grand week of Bible school. God, not that we might be lifted up, but that you might be lifted up. That you might be exalted. That you might increase and we might decrease. God, help our families. Bless our families. Strengthen our families. Help us, God, along the way. We'll give you glory.